We thank you for your word and your truth. We thank you for your presence that was here with us this morning during worship, Lord. And we just ask that your presence continue as we spend some time in your word. We ask that everyone's heart, eyes, and ears would be open to receive what you have for us this morning. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been moving along in the book of Genesis, and this morning I'm not going to spend time on a specific verse or passage. I'm going to be kind of bouncing around, and I'll get to the topic here in a moment, but we've gone through quite a few number of stories. And there's a theme that runs through these stories that I'd like to share with the body, and I think you'll be encouraged and benefit from it. This past week, I had to go to the doctor's office for my annual physical. And with any visit that you have with a doctor, you set an appointment for a specific time. And we all know that you never start on time when you're at the doctor's office. You always have to wait. But this time it wasn't too bad. I only had to wait for 15 minutes. After my physical was over, the doctor noticed that I had never had my blood tested. Year after year, I go get my physical and the doc hands me the paperwork for my blood panel, but I never go. Well, this year was going to be different. I made a promise to my honey buns that I would get my blood work done this year. So after the physical, the doc said, "You're in luck today. The phlebotomist is here and she can draw your blood if you're willing to wait another 20 minutes. I said, "That's great. Let's do it." Well, 20 minutes turned into 30 minutes. 30 minutes turned into 45 minutes. 45 minutes turned into an hour. An hour turned into an hour and 15 minutes before I could get my blood drawn. I'm thinking to myself, what's taking so long? It doesn't take that long to draw blood. I get back there. She draws my blood in like 1 minute. And then she explains why it took so long. There's only one person back there, and she has to handle the blood after each draw and has to handle it differently and all this kind of stuff. And so she was apologetic, and I said, "No problem, I understand." Well, honey buns, I did it. I know you had to wait for years, but I finally got my blood work done. I kept my promise. I think God has a sense of humor. You have to fast 8 to 10 hours before you can get your blood drawn. And I had not eaten since 6 p.m. the night before. And I didn't get out of the doctor's office until 1 p.m. My appointment was for 11 a.m. So I got a physical, I got my blood drawn, and I got an 18-hour fast, and I didn't even know it. God works in mysterious ways. You know, fasting is a spiritual discipline that we don't necessarily enjoy doing and probably don't do enough of with our walk with Christ. But there is another spiritual discipline we all experience, that we all go through, and we don't have a choice in the matter. And that is waiting on God. We're waiting on God's timing regarding his promises and answers to our prayers. There are literally thousands of promises listed in the Bible, and the church as a whole does a good job of teaching and sharing God's promises. But if we teach about the promises of God without teaching about the timing of God, it creates frustration within the believer. When we teach the promises of God without the timing of God, we get people trying to get the promise out of time. Receiving the promise prematurely does nobody any good. It just causes more issues and more problems and more heartache. When it comes to spiritual discernment, we have to be careful. It's not our job to discern someone else's time about a promise from God. The gift of discernment is discernment of spirits, not people. We are given biblical privilege to discern two things in the Bible. One of them is spirits, and the other is what time it is. 1 Chronicles 12:32 tells us the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. What were the times that the sons of Issachar understood? From a political standpoint, they knew that the future was with David, the shepherd boy turned warrior, who had already been anointed king, but had not yet been ascended to the throne. Because they understood the times, they cast their lot with David rather than Saul. They were, in a sense, in a time between times. The rightful king had been anointed, but not visibly enthroned. There's a parallel in the New Testament about this story as well. Like David, Jesus has already been marked as the Messiah of Israel, the King of the world, and yet his reign is not this time public and visible for all to see. We should be able to discern what kind of spirit we're up against, because if you can't discern the kind of spirit that you're up against, you won't know what type of warfare tactic you'll need to get the victory. And if you can't discern what time it is, you'll be trying to bear fruit when it's not your time. And you'll think that something is wrong when it is not wrong. It's just not the right time. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 tells us, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." If we will meditate on God's word day and night, we will be planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its own season. There's no stress. There's no struggle. There's no pain. There's no warfare. Just timing. Just getting in the place that you're supposed to be, connecting your root to the source from which your strength comes from, and waiting it out, knowing that when it's your time, you shall bring forth fruit. We have to have a shall down in our spirit, not a might. The Bible tells us it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. There can't be a should have, a could have, a would have. There's got to be it shall happen. We can't go by what it looks like, even when there's no flower, no blossom, no bloom, no bud on the vine. We still have to know when the time is right, it will happen. It shall happen. It must happen. You don't have to do anything to promote yourself. You just got to keep on feeding on the word of God. And when it's time, God will cause that thing to happen in your life. Most of the miracles in the Bible happen accompanied with the word suddenly or immediately. That means God can bring you into a season of blessing without warning. All you have to do is keep on feeding on the word of God. And when it's time, God will cause that thing to happen in your life. Waiting is an important part of life. It's an important part of character development. There's some things that we only learn in waiting that we learn no other way. Would you agree that every child has to learn the difference between no and not yet? They're not the same thing. But an immature child doesn't know the difference between no and not yet. Our inability to wait is the cause of so many problems in our lives. We get in a hurry. Our inability to delay gratification is the cause of all of our debt. The inability to wait until you can afford it. You buy it on credit and you get in debt. I want it and I want it now. Causes broken hearts. Have you ever been in a hurry when God wasn't? That's the most frustrating of all, when you're in God's waiting room. And that's frustrating some of us right now. You're waiting on God to open the door. You're waiting on God to give you a job opportunity. You're waiting on God for an answer to prayer, for maybe clarification, direction. You're waiting on God to remove a pain, to heal a broken relationship. And you go, I don't get this. I've prayed and nothing's happening. There is a delay. Remember, not yet does not mean no. I think the story of Sarah and Hagar illustrate to us what happens when we get in a hurry and get ahead of God and the problems that it creates, and a reminder that not yet does not mean no. God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a son, but they got tired of waiting and took matters into their own hands. Sarah instructed Abraham to take Hagar and conceive a child. Hagar gave birth to a son, and as a result of her union with Abraham, they named him Ishmael. In God's timing, Sarah conceives a child, and they name him Isaac. Ishmael creates constant conflict between himself and Isaac. Sarah can't take the harassment Ishmael is dishing out on Isaac and tells Abraham, Ishmael and Hagar must go. Abraham sends them away from the family, creating heartache and pain. We need to learn not to get ahead of God so we don't create the Ishmaels in our lives which lead to heartache and pain for everyone involved. I can remember as a young man having the desire to get married and not following the Spirit in regards to finding and selecting a wife, doing it in my own strength, in my own power, in my own wisdom, and not relying on God. And that just created an Ishmael, figuratively speaking, in my life. It created heartache and pain for me and the other individual. It could have all been avoided if I would have just waited for God's timing, because my honey buns was on the way. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, God does everything just right and on time. But people can never completely understand what he's doing. If you did understand everything God was doing, then you would be God. But God is God and we are not. And so we don't understand what is just right, and we don't always understand what's on time. So today I want us to look at, what do you do when you have to wait on God? What do you do when I'm in the waiting room of life? Because this involves faith. When you have asked God for something and it hasn't come yet, and you're in that delay period where you haven't seen the answer to your prayer, what do you do? You need to remember that there's a natural delay between planting and harvesting. When you have a garden and you plant seeds, you don't plant seeds one day and then go out the next day and expect to have, let's say, tomatoes. Or if you have carrot seeds, you don't plant them today and then walk out tomorrow and have carrots. There is a delay between planting and harvesting. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything and there is a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time to plant. There is a time to harvest. There is a time to scatter. There is a time to gather. There is simply talking about seasons. You always get the results of what you plant in life in another season, not in the same season. You don't plant and harvest in the same season. You reap in a different season than you sow. And during that season of waiting, you wait quietly, you wait expectantly, and you wait patiently in faith. You remember that there is a natural delay between planting and harvesting. So when I put in a request, it's not going to be instantly fulfilled. There is usually a delay. Another thing to remember when you're waiting on God is there's an unseen battle going on. There's spiritual warfare going on in the realm that we don't even understand. We can't see it. We don't feel it. But in the heavenlies, there's a spiritual war in other dimensions between good and evil, God and Satan, between angels and demons. And the fact is, you're caught right in the middle. And if you're a child of God, Satan hates you and he wants you to mess up. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against evil forces in heavenly realms, rulers and authorities, and the powers of darkness. What this verse is saying is that when you send up a prayer, there's often a battle going on. Satan, while you're waiting in the room, he starts throwing darts at you. The dart of doubt, the dart of discouragement, the dart of disappointment, the dart of delay, the dart of depression. He starts throwing these darts at you, and we should be aware that he's going to try to get you down. The Bible does not tell us much about what's going on during spiritual warfare behind our prayers, but we do get a glimpse of it in one book of the Bible, and it's in the book of Daniel. It shows the spiritual warfare going on behind the answer to prayers that Daniel prayed and the things that he was trusting God for in his life. In Daniel chapter 10, starting with verse 10, it reads, "Then behold, a hand touched me and set me unsteadily on my hands and knees. So he said to me, O Daniel, you highly regarded and greatly beloved man, understand the words that I am about to say to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. But the prince of this kingdom of Persia was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief celestial princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for this vision is in regards to the days yet to come." In this passage, Daniel had a vision. He had a vision of an angel coming to him, and the angel says to Daniel in this vision, "Daniel, God loves you deeply, and God has heard your prayers since the very first day. You humbled yourself." And let me just say this, when you pray, a prayer is heard by God the first time. He doesn't wait until the fifth time or the tenth time. He hears it on the first time. He heard your prayer from the very first one. The angel said, God loves you deeply, and he heard your prayer since the beginning. Now, here's the interesting part. The evil angel, prince of this kingdom, opposed and blocked me for 21 days. He said, your prayer hadn't been answered for 21 days. I was opposed in this spiritual battle, so Michael, one of the archangels, intervened to fight for me because I had been blocked from coming to you with the answer. This is a very interesting passage. There is a dimension beyond the prayers that we don't know about. And we don't even have any more than that in Scripture. But the Bible tells us that Daniel had a prayer. It wasn't answered, and he started to get discouraged, and an angel shows up and says, I'm here to get the answer. We heard it from day one, but we've been in a battle over this, and it's such an intense battle that Michael the archangel had to come down and help me with this battle, so I come to tell you the answer is on its way. We need to remember that a delay is not denial. A delay is not denial. When an answer to prayer is delayed, it doesn't mean it's not going to be answered. There may be some kind of spiritual warfare going on behind the scenes. Another thing to remember when you're in a time of waiting is God is preparing you for a blessing. God is preparing you for his blessing. When you have an idea and you ask God to do something in your life, God usually has a bigger idea. And usually a better idea, and he's going to have to prepare you to get ready for a bigger and better answer to your prayer. And he usually has to take some time getting you ready, preparing you for a job, for a mate, for a child, for whatever prayer request that you have. He wants to get you ready because God is more interested in changing your character than he is in answering your prayer, because your character is what you're going to take to heaven. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1. There's wonderful joy ahead. That's the inevitable answers to our prayers, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. And this includes the delays, the troubles. This tests your faith. The troubles you're going through right now, this is a test. They test your faith so that it is strong and it's pure, just as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. Some of you are going through the fire right now. Keep going. What do you do when you're going through the fire? You keep going. You don't want to stay there. You keep walking and you keep going through the fire and you keep going. He says the troubles are the test of your faith. Waiting is always a test. And when you're praying for something in your life and it hasn't happened and you're in that delay, you're in that season between harvest and sowing, waiting is always a test. It tests your character. It tests your trust. It tests your faith. It tests your endurance. It tests all kinds of things in your life. Waiting is a test. In fact, Paul compares waiting in life, when you really want something that hasn't happened yet, he compares it to being pregnant in Romans chapter 8. Paul says, this waiting does not diminish us. It doesn't diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. When we don't see it, it's what's enlarging us. The longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, when we get tired of waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside us, helping us. And if we don't know or how or what to pray, God knows far better than we know ourselves. He knows your pregnant condition. And that's why we can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is working into something good. Paul is saying that it's just like being pregnant. It's just like being expectant. Because when a woman has a baby, she's expecting that baby and says, this is what it's like to wait on God. You know it's coming. You know it's going to happen. It shall happen. It must happen. But you've got to do is you've got to wait. Another thing to remember is when you're in God's waiting room is that you're in good company. You are in good company while you're waiting. Millions of saints before you have sat in God's waiting room. You're not alone. In fact, we're in the waiting room right now. Maybe you're waiting for a job, for an answer, for a prayer. A lot of people are sitting around right now who are in that same situation. God's waiting room. You're in good company. Hebrews 11, verse 2 says, these people who lived in the past became famous because of their faith, and every one of these people had to wait. Think about Hannah, who had to wait years to have a baby that she was praying that God would give her. Think about Joseph, who God gave him a dream of being a ruler, and that he had a vision at a very young age, and ends up in prison for 14 years for a crime that he did not commit, in a prison in a dungeon in Egypt, waiting 14 years. God knew exactly where he was. Moses waits 40 years in the wilderness to know his purpose in life, to know his next assignment, to know what he's supposed to do with his life. Abraham waits 100 years before he has Isaac, his first child through Sarah. Noah had to wait 120 years. And the whole time he's building an ark, and everybody comes and says, what's an ark? That's a big boat. Why? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? It's never rained up to that point. Can you imagine building an ark in front of your yard and how your teenage kids, I can just see Luke being embarrassed, saying, my dad's a nut. You know how long he's been working on these vows? 120 years. Why? Because it's going to flood. What's a flood? God waited thousands of years before sending the Messiah. We get in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. Look at Hebrews 6. It says, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised before the waiting is essential to faith. God always keeps his promises. That's what you need to remember when you're waiting on God. Because unlike other people or other things, you can count on God to come through. You can count on God to come through because over the 7,000 promises that you found in the Bible, he staked his reputation on every single one of them. So what do you do in the waiting room is you don't focus on what you can't do. You don't focus on, oh, I don't have any money. I don't have the talent. I don't have the time. I don't have the connections. I don't have the opportunity. You don't focus on what you don't have. You focus on God and what God can do. You focus on God and his unlimited abilities instead of you and your limited abilities. The Bible says anything is possible if you have faith. In Habakkuk 2 verse 3, I like it in the Contemporary English Version, God says, at the time I have decided my words will come true, you can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. For those of you in the waiting room, you need to put this verse in your heart. God says, my word will come true. You can trust that I say it's going to happen. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen at the time I decided. My words will come true. You can trust what I say. It will be fact. To wrap up, I just want to review. What do you do when you're waiting on God? You need to remember that when you're waiting on God, there's a natural delay between planting and harvesting. There is possible warfare going on behind the scenes regarding your prayers. Waiting is there to test you and prepare you for what God has next for you. Remember that you're in good company. Many a great saints before you had to wait. Last but not least, remember God always keeps his promises. The rain came and the flood came. Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. Joseph did become ruler over his brothers. Jesus did come. He did live. He did die on the cross, and he rose again to come back someday for his people, his bride, his church. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word that is a comfort. And we all can honestly say that waiting is sometimes very difficult for all of us. Father God, I pray that while anyone here is in that waiting period, that you would strengthen them in this time of waiting, that they would not get ahead of your plans for their life, that they would know that not yet does not mean no, and that a delay is not a denial, and that they would feed on your word, that they would meditate day and night, that you would feed them like rivers of water, like for a tree that's planted at a river. Father God, I just lift up every concern, every prayer that someone is waiting on, Father God, that you would do your battle behind the scenes. and that we know that you are going to win the victory and that it shall happen, it must happen, it will happen. Father God, encourage each one of us in our season of waiting and remind us and encourage us and let us know that it's there to test us and prepare us for the next thing that you have for us. For as a child of God, we don't just stay stagnant, but we grow from day to day, from season to season, to bear fruit and to bear much fruit. Have your way with us, Lord. Help us to surrender those things that we need to surrender. And lavish your love, your reckless love, on each one of us this day and every day. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.